B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
Welcome to the Beer Run, part of the BS and Beer family, the only Saints podcast with a 2-drink minimum and takes as bad as being married to Amber Heard.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep on your toes. Put toes at it.
I'm the California Cajun. With me, as always, is Lil Dice. How you doing, brother?
What's up, Craig? Man, we have so much to cover today. Like, the Saints just went nuts. Mickey Loomis is out there just making everybody's dreams come true.
Man, we had enough stuff to talk about today. We should have gotten double the beer and done 2 shows.
Yeah.
Instead, we're just going to get a little tipsy doing this one.
Hey, this is going to be a long one.
That's what she said.
Michael. You know, at least 45 minutes or so, I'm predicting. Ooh. So everybody enjoy, sit back, relax. We're coming to you with 4 downs, and it's going to cover all Saints stuff. So let's spot the ball, baby. Let's get this thing going.
First down, Saints.
All right, Craig. What are you drinking today, bruh?
Okay, I'm going to tell you about my mystery beer today. This is a tried and true one. They've been making it the exact same way since 1982 and renamed in 1984, right? So it's an American light beer. It's only 4.2% alcohol. It's a little bit lower. Real low IBUs. It's Bud Light. I'm drinking Bud Light today, guys. I'm flying to California in 2 days. I'm broke. And okay. You know what? Your boy's drinking Bud Light today. But you know what? To honor my 2-drink minimum, I'll just have twice as many. It's fine.
There you go. I like it, Craig.
So the thing about Bud Light is it's tried, it's true, but how does it sound? I mean, it sounds pretty good. It's a good sound of a beer. You know, it tries.
Yeah, that's...
Bud Light is that friend that he's never the first person you call when you're having to get together. But if you need to move a fridge or you need to get your sofa to the street, you know, he's going to show up when you call him. He is a good friend.
Yeah.
He's not the most charming. He's not the best looking, but he's got a pickup truck and he'll be there for you.
There you go. I like it. And it's guaranteed to be on happy hour. So
you're never going to decide it's too expensive for you unless you're out there drinking Natty Ice. And I don't suggest that. Your good old buddy Bud Light with the pickup truck. He'll be there for you.
I like it. All right. So I decided I was going to throw another curveball today because I know how much you enjoyed the curveball last week. And, you know, hey, I got another one. We've got Bud Light Seltzer.
Look at that's all branded and matching today.
That's
like one of them cute couples that wears matching sweatshirts at Disneyland.
That's right. Ah, yeah, that's good. That's good stuff.
That sounds better than it tastes, I bet.
So yeah, this is Black Cherry, and I've been enjoying these too. So
for whatever reason, I feel like the Black Cherry flavor comes across better in all these seltzers. All the White Claws, Bud Light, Seltzers, whatever they are. I feel like of all the flavors, I don't really get them, but I think Black Cherry gets the closest to actually tasting like it.
Okay. So yeah, last week you were talking about my whiskey and it's not beer. So I was thinking, you know, hey, maybe we just make the show more inclusive. Okay, instead of calling it the Beer Run, we just call it like the Alcohol Run or something. So
I refuse to change the name. It is tattooed on my back. I've named 2 of my children Beer Run and Beer Run Junior. Keeping the name.
Second down.
All right. Let's get into some Saints news.
And there is no Saints news.
Shortage of news. Mickey Loomis clearly listens to the show. He knows what to do. We told him everything. All right. Go out there and get the honey badger. Boom. He got him. Then Friday, he went out there and got Jarvis Landry, another LSU Tiger, go Tigers. And it turns out the deal is like a 1-year deal for $3 million. Oh, so good.
Yeah, I mean, he was coming off kind of a banged up season where he played hurt. His numbers were the worst of his career. You know, there wasn't a ton of people throwing money at him anyway. This was an opportunity for him to prove that he's healthy, prove that he's still the guy that he, you know, obviously still thinks he is. And it's kind of a, it's a chance to play for his hometown team. He's with his guy, Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, you know, he's already out there recruiting OBJ to come join him. He's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right stuff. We already love him down here. I mean, he's doing everything right, man. All he has to do now is show up and perform on the field.
Man, I looked at this guy's stats, okay? And just targets alone. The lowest amount of targets he's had since his career started in the NFL in 2014 has been 87 targets. And that was last year. So every other year he commanded well over 100 targets. And like, we need that kind of receiver getting open across the middle so that Jameis can get the ball over to him, man.
So I agree that he fits really well into the scheme of, he is kind of a short route kind of guy. He's very good in the slot, a lot of outs, ins, kind of. He's good at catching the ball short and being really good after the catch, right? Mm-hmm. That's not what Jameis is great at. So I love the signing. I think it's great. But just a tiny little pump of the brakes is that he's not necessarily into Jameis's skill set, whereas Olave is designed in a laboratory to get thrown the football to by Jameis Winston. Like, he's a deep ball guy, crisp route runner, clean. Right. You know, he fits Jameis's style perfectly. I'm not sure that Landry does. I mean, you can't have enough good players. Right. Adding good players is never a bad thing, and Landry is a good player. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that he's going to jump off the page and have huge stats, but he doesn't really have to. Just, you know, keeping a safety honest, it still helps this team immensely. You know, putting Callaway, who I love, as your third wide receiver out there, or Tre'Quan Smith or whatever, it's not going to strike fear in anybody's heart. But a Jarvis Landry as your third receiver is kind of scary.
And just imagine if he has like 80 to 90 catches on the season. Like,
all right, Frank, honestly, though, if he has 90 catches on the season, it means that something happened to Michael Thomas.
Think so?
You can only throw the ball to one person at a time, you know? And I think if he's getting targeted that many times, then maybe Thomas is farther behind than we think. Or Olave doesn't pick it up real quick. I think if he's getting that many targets, something's wrong.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you got him as a third option, right? Right. You already have your number one should be Michael Thomas. He's paid like a number one. He's, you know, his last time he played a season was the best season a receiver's ever had. You drafted a guy, moved up in a draft, traded away picks to go get a guy that you expect to be your number two and to be your number two for a long time. He's only here to help. He's not here to be the guy. So if he ends up being the guy, I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to be the guy, right? But another
threat. If he gets 90 catches, he's the guy.
Well, hold on. Let's look and see what a season with OBJ looked like. And him, because I mean, like I said, he was getting like 90 catches or something like that, averaging every season. So let me try to get over there to that. 2019, OBJ had 74 catches with Cleveland, and that's like his only really healthy year, mm-hmm. looks like. So if he had 74 catches, let's see how many Jarvis had. For 2019, Jarvis had 83.
Yeah, I mean, I this is going to ruffle some feathers. I know a lot of OBJ fans listen here. I think he's better than Odell Beckham. I think he's been better than Odell Beckham for his whole career. He just didn't have that giant highlight on Sunday Night Football that you've seen on SportsCenter every day for the last 5 years.
Well, absolutely. But, I mean, him and Mike Thomas can put up 80 catches each. And
they could. But then what do you throw into our first round pick, Olave?
Oh, these are good
problems to have.
What
are you throwing our deep balls to Hardy to? What are you throwing to any of our tight ends? What are you throwing to Alvin Kamara out of the backfield? Yes. You got all these mouths to feed, which is an awesome problem to have, but you can't throw 80 catches to all of them.
Exactly. I love this problem. I love it.
if we throw 80 balls to every one of those guys, that means our defense is terrible and we're having to beat people 50-49 again. I'm not ready for that again. I was a young man back then. My heart can't handle it anymore.
Well, you're right about that, man. So let's look at some other stuff that the Saints did. They also brought in Ozigbo.
Ziggy.
They signed Lorenzo Neal Jr.
That's fun. I love those legacy picks.
Yeah, and they signed some fat guy from Atlanta. You want to talk about the fat guy?
So he's not great. He played for Atlanta last year, but he's versatile. He's very much in that kind of Will Clapp style where he can play guard, he can play center. You don't necessarily want him doing either, but if he has to play, it's not going to kill you. He's kind of an inside James Hurst, you know, and it's an extra protection against Ruiz and Pete, one of which is oft injured and the other which we don't know what to deal with yet.
Right.
I'm a fan of Ruiz. I think he can turn the corner, but until he does, you have to plan for him not to.
Ooh, goodness, that guy. Okay, and
we also signed a tackle, Kyle Murphy. So doubled up on my fat guy news today.
Oh my goodness, more fat guy talk. Okay, now there also was a tweet that came from Drew Brees. And the speculation running rapid about Drew Brees coming back.
Do we even need to talk about this one? honestly, do we need to? I know everyone else is, but we're all rational, intelligent people on this podcast. We ain't got to talk about nonsense.
It's not going to happen.
And the exact same chance of him playing for us as Superman and Batman coming out and suiting up. Imagine trying to put a football helmet over those cowl ears. That wouldn't make no sense. Okay. Brees ain't coming. He's messing with you guys. He also mentioned joining the pro pickleball tour.
Right.
So everyone who's taken that seriously has, man, you need other hobbies. You need something to do. Go to work. Go do something. Go cut the lawn. Be productive.
The last thing I will mention here is Sean Payton getting a job with Fox. He's going to be like a backup studio analyst. That's kind of weird, right?
I mean, objectively, that means you're going to get paid money to do almost nothing. So,
well, true, but
I mean, for me, I'll do it.
Of course.
Because it is kind of a backup thing. It's not a big in front of the camera job. It doesn't really quiet any of the coaching rumors for me. Exactly. I mean, to me, that means he's still definitely on the table. At this point, I don't want him back. I want to move on. He's the best coach in Saints history. He's a Hall of Famer. The Saints were never relevant until him. They'll never be relevant again. Wait, what? you just can't. You can't take away from what he's done. But I want to move on. I'm tired of kicking the can down the road with a guy who doesn't want to be here anymore and a quarterback who can't throw 20 yards on the field. I'm tired of the Brees stuff. I'm tired of the Peyton stuff. I want a fresh start. I want a quarterback who can throw the ball 60 yards in the air and all these receivers, and I want to do new stuff. Damn it. Change is good.
I will tell you, I'm not the guy that really loves change, okay?
What? You?
However,
you do a little soundbite of all the times you said it, no change in the last shows.
However, if we're going to be bringing in LSU players to the Saints, dang on it. I'm all about this change. All right. Let's
go get Les Miles. We'll hire him too.
Let's not go crazy now.
I want Les Miles, Coach O combination coaching.
Let's get some more LSU players. Maybe next year we can draft some.
Go Tigers.
You know?
Third down for what?
The NFL schedule was released. And I'm going to tell you, man, the Saints got screwed.
Again.
Okay. Every year. Now, this time they didn't screw us with the early bye like they always do. It was like a week five bye, week four, week two, whatever it is, right? They're ridiculous with these bye weeks. But no, we get a bye week in week 14.
Which okay? I think is too late.
It's absolutely too late. No team should have a bye.
They screwed us over the other direction. Oh, you don't want it too early? Okay, well, we're going to throw it in week 14. Right. Have 13 freaking games under your belt before then. Have most of your division games done already.
Yeah.
Hope you guys start quick because you're going to have a tough-ass time. That's them. That's what they do. But, you know, Sean Payton clearly wasn't the problem. We thought maybe the NFL would take it easy on us when Sean Payton left, right? No, apparently not. They're, you know, Goodell must have caught the clap or something when he was visiting Bourbon Street as a kid, and he hates a city for some reason I don't understand. So our first three games, if I'm not mistaken, are all divisional opponents, two of which on the road, and the only one we get at home are the freaking defending NFC South champs, and
right.
a year removed from winning the Super Bowl, we get the right. Bucks. That's the one we get at home. The NFL schedule makers want to see us fail so badly. And it's obvious.
Yep.
I mean, forget, they already threw away one of our home games, sending us to London to play.
Right,
that's
like week four, right? We go to London.
It is week four. It's just throwing us all across the pond to play for a bunch of American transplants because no one in London gives a shit about NFL, and they haven't changed yet.
For like the only thing.
It's dumb. It's a waste. No team has ever played in London and not had a bye week at the end of it to recover from that trip.
Now, that part was requested by the Saints to not have a bye week because they didn't want a bye week in week five.
Week five.
Right.
So they granted us that. No one cares about us in London. It's dumb. I don't care about if there's a Don't Patrol UK podcast. They don't listen to this anyway, so screw them.
So, why is it that we have all these different bye weeks? And I know it's because the NFL wants to keep games rolling every week and monopolize this span of time, but there's significant competitive disadvantages to teams based on these bye weeks. And I mean, why can't we be like the NBA or hockey or something like that, baseball, where every team has the same bye week and you do something different in that week where you still monopolize the televisions and all that kind of stuff, but majority of the players are getting that rest and preparing for the next half of the season. Like, it just makes too much sense. We got a Pro Bowl or something. We could do something.
So, baseball, hockey, basketball, they all have, breaks. I think they call it the Olympic break in hockey. There's the All-Star break in baseball, Right. But they also, there are still other off days. It's not like everyone plays every day and the only day everyone is off. I mean, in baseball, you have all the time where you just played a four-game set with somebody, and now you've got someone else coming to town. You're going to play your fifth game in 5 days, and the team you're playing had the day off before. I mean, that happens all the time. It's so much different in football, where it is so much more taxing. It's the only sport you can't play twice in a week.
Right.
Exactly. Just look up the stats on how many people get injured on Thursday night games.
Yeah.
And it'll show you that you're not able to recover just from the beating that this sport puts on you. You can't play a doubleheader like in baseball or, five games a week in basketball. It's just different. And this, the Thursday night games, Monday night games, a lot of this stuff just to drive up ratings, it's absolutely detrimental to player safety. And every time the NFL says they care about player safety, it's bull. Absolute bull. They care about player safety headlines so they can keep lining their pockets with their dirty concussion money.
Yeah.
I said it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And look, right. We have the Saints schedule, man. We have like five teams that have more than a week to prepare for us. Like five different times this happens to us.
Oh, right? Five. Oh, interesting. That sounds like? Bullshit. Oh, no. That's what that sounds like. I thought that sounded familiar. Yeah, that's right. It is, in fact, some baloney, some grade A baloney.
We got three games where the teams have more time to prepare and rest than we have for them. And we have like another two games where we have more rest than the other team.
Two whole games.
Woo. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what, 8-2?
Right, right. It's just so unfair here. Like, come on, NFL.
It's ridiculous.
Let's balance out these schedules.
They're not even trying anymore.
I did see something where the NFC East has like the easiest schedule in the entire NFL. Like all.
Well, yeah, they get to play each other.
Right.
If it wasn't for the Saints' inability to stop a running quarterback, then we would have beaten the Eagles the last couple of times too. This is not a good division of football.
And then I was saying, like, the Cowboys, I want to say they have like 7 games where they have way more rest than their opponent.
Oh yeah, the NFL cares about its almighty dollar.
Yeah.
Who gets more views and clicks and more sells more merch than America's team, the Cowboys? They're gonna have the Cowboys. You know, just pick a Sunday night. Pick a Sunday night on the schedule. Look at Sunday Night Football. Are the Eagles or Cowboys or Giants playing in that game? Because I bet you they might be. And if they ain't, it's the Packers or the Raiders. The NFL knows what 10 teams make the most money for them. And they're going to just keep funneling them every opportunity, every favorable call, every good schedule update. The NFL is – oh, I hate them so much. If the Saints weren't in the NFL, I wouldn't watch. I said it. Oh, I hate the NFL. I hate it. It is an abusive relationship, and we're all just taking it.
But one thing about New Orleans is, man, it's a really good market for the NFL as far as the views. Like, they will shut down the New Orleans area market as far as, television, right? So why not give us some Sunday night games here, you know? Like, it's going to be highly rated.
So the thing about that, that's because it's bold.
Oh, no!
Every logical reason says to give us these primetime games. We are a huge draw. We always get huge views, not even just in the New Orleans area, because we're a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
You know, we get us out there in our Color Rush jerseys. We're the best show on television. Mm-hmm. And the NFL and Goodell are so spiteful. I don't know what their problem is, but the bias is clear and it's obvious, and I can't help it, but a little fired up about it. A little bit of fire.
Just a little bit.
They're going to go for it here on fourth down.
Rookie camp, because this weekend it was going down, Craig. Okay.
Oh, that's exciting.
We have Olave out there looking as advertised.
Mm. And he was advertised pretty damn good.
I'm seeing that Alante Taylor has been balling.
Yeah, he looks kind of scary. He looks bigger than he is, and he's a big guy.
Yeah. So
he might be kind of scary back there in the secondary. I'm for it, man.
I also saw some tidbits about Crawl, the tight end from out of Pitt, been turning some heads.
Now, I do want to temper expectations a little bit for Crawl, because a lot of people are like, oh, we finally have a receiving tight end again. And yeah, you saw a video of a wheel route that he caught pretty nice. It was fun.
Look, but, man, that's the weak spot on the offense now.
He can't block. He's undersized. His hands are shoddy. He drops as many as he catches. I like the potential there. He's a huge frame, 6'6", 260 pounds, runs real good. But if you don't catch the ball and you can't block well enough to see yourself on the field, you're a developmental guy. So best case scenario, in my opinion, is probably practice squad. And I would like that a lot, because he needs the practice. You could get a guy like that to develop. That would be awesome. But right now, everybody calm down. Guys like Vinette are going to be a lot more relevant to the team next year than Crawl, I promise.
But this was the guy that made Kenny Pickett look good. Kenny Pickett was a number one pick.
No, yeah, you have to understand, Kenny Pickett was a intentional saboteur. Whatever team he went to, he's going to tank. Mm. I don't know. That's not true. Who's the guy that went to Atlanta? Was that Ritter? Ritter is the saboteur.
Yeah.
The guy who went to Atlanta, that I'm convinced that guy is going to intentionally burn that franchise down.
Well, he's the one that's supposed to have like the plan to replace whatever quarterback other teams have or whatever. Like, he had like PowerPoints and all this kind of stuff.
What? I didn't hear about that. That's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun when guys are so nerdy that you want to hate them. Maybe other quarterbacks like take his lunch money and stuff him in a locker or something.
The other guy I saw that made some noise at camp this weekend was D. Anderson. He's like a 6'6" wide receiver, and
he's love that
getting open like I, you know with, guy. With
so bottom of the roster for wide receivers, right? Mm-hmm. Callaway, Hardy's gonna make it as a return guy. Mm-hmm. But you got guys like Callaway, Lil Jordan, all these guys that have been bouncing on the practice squad forever. Like, if you're going to make the team as a UDFA, as a rookie, as a wide receiver, you got to show up because there is some competition there. You know, even if you look better in camp than a guy like Callaway, Callaway's done it in NFL games. He has 6 touchdowns last year. So if you better look real good if you're going to push one of those guys for a spot. And then I'm not talking about Tre'Quan Smith, who might be expendable at this point. There is competition.
For sure. Man, when I was when I heard about the Jarvis Landry news, I was like just looking into some tape of Rashid Shaheed, the wide receiver from Weber State. And I mean, the guy looks like a Deontay Harris, Harty clone, right? I mean, like this guy.
He's a little bigger.
But his return ability is amazing.
Yes.
Separation, ridiculous.
At you know, it's interesting. He's kind of fits a similar role while having different styles of doing it. He's a little bit more straight line than Harty, but I think he's got more top speed too. So it's kind of more, you know, a couple of cuts and go than the kind of back and forth that Harris Harty has been so good at. I mean, you'd have to be real. I mean, he was an all pro. Harty was, and I think his. As a returner, it was rookie year, second year. So, I mean, if you're going to push him for that job, you better be damn good at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's proven that he can be an offensive weapon too. So you're going to have to do more than return kicks. You're going to have to catch the ball if you're going to push him for a spot. Man, that's a good problem to have. Exactly. Our two receivers last year, Callaway and Harty. And right now we're talking about if either of them are going to get replaced.
Yes.
That's how good this roster is now. My goodness.
That's what I've been wanting this whole time when I was talking about draft more receivers. I just wanted the depth chart to get shaken up. That's what I wanted.
A coach I had a long time ago told me that when your starters become backups, your team gets better.
Yes.
And our starters are going to look at being backups on other teams at this rate.
Absolutely. So all of you people who voted on last week's Twitter poll.
You were all correct, and I thank you.
Where I said the Saints had the third best wide receiving group in the NFC South. And you guys disagreed with me. You agreed with Craig, and you said that our wide receivers were better than Carolina. Well, DA disagreed with all of you, and I was right. And that's why he went out to get Landry, and that's why we have the best wide receiving core in the NFC South today. Thank you.
So what you're saying is you were wrong.
I was right.
I mean, but you were wrong, though, because it was the second best, and now it's the first best. And you said it was the third best, and now it's the first. Wait, really? So what you're saying is that you were wrong, but you're happy about it. It's okay to be happy. Embrace your joy. Find what makes you happy and embrace that joy.
I'm happy. And maybe you guys will listen to me the next time around instead of listening to Craig. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Everyone should always listen to Craig. That should be a segment of this show. Everyone just sits back, they relax, and they listen to Craig. And that's all we got to do.
All right. And some of the bad news to come out of rookie minicamp was the Saints cut former Tulane player. So sorry, B-Train, your guy McCleskey or whatever.
We had an entire segment based around just ripping on B-Train for his one Tulane guy getting cut. We were just going to give it to him. And he must have heard because he couldn't make it today. You'll hear more of B-Train when his new show starts a couple weeks from now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's about all the tidbits I had, man. You got anything else, Craig?
You know what? Just it's really exciting right now. Like, who's had a few beers and is really excited about the Saints this year? This guy. they did what they had to do to make the team better. So we added, you know, we lost Marcus Williams and Terron Armstead, but we're getting Will Lutz back. We're getting Michael Thomas back, hopefully, unless you listen to Dave. We've added Landry. We've added first round picks. We've drafted a tackle first overall that doesn't have injury concerns, Terron Armstead. You know, we might've got hosed by the schedule and everything, but our free agency was good. Our draft was good. You know, the rookies look promising. I don't see any reason this Saints team can't win the division and really compete. You know, people sleeping on us, but they did the last 4 years of us being good too. So whatever.
Yeah. I've seen some respect out there in the Twitterverse. you know, where teams, well, guys will rank the NFC South, well, the NFC teams and have the Saints like number three or something like that.
Yeah, so, but then you'll have turn around and you'll see Nick Wright says we're going to go 8-9.
Yeah.
I hate that I share a last name with that freaking idiot.
Like, just because your last name is Wright doesn't mean
you're right. Guarantee you it was like left or something and he changed it so he wouldn't get picked on so much. Because that no one who's actually right all the time says stuff as clinically stupid as that guy.
Listen, he changed a few letters in that last name.
He is Max Kellerman with a different accent. They're terrible at their job. They shouldn't be getting paid to do any of this. It's terrible. It's terrible. How are these people getting paid to be so wrong all the time? The only way they could get paid more money to be worse at their job is if they were NFL referees or congressmen.
You know,
stinging.
That is an excellent point, Craig. Excellent point. These guys have no repercussions for getting anything wrong.
Yeah, nothing happens. Right. They're bad. Look at the guys like Cowherd. They're famously wrong every year. The Skip Bayless of the world, yes, who are not only wrong but irritating. The Stephen A. Smiths, who go out of their way to piss people off and still be bad at their job. And they're getting paid bank to be bad at what they do. And yes. I'm just upset now.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe it's the Bud Light. Maybe I'm just sad. I broke my streak of awesome ales with a couple of Bud Lights. And now I'm just sad.
We clearly went into the wrong line of work. Well, we actually have to produce in our line of work.
That's unbelievable.
And get stuff right. So,
and until people start jumping onto our OnlyFan Patreon rewards cash app program, then we'll be swimming in it.
More money. Buy NFTs, please.
Did you see the Madonna NFT?
No.
Okay. When we get off of this, you got to look up the Madonna NFT. It is nightmare fuel. Pure nightmare fuel.
All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for us on the beer run.
All right. Yeah. So thanks to the whole BS and beer crew. Thanks to Dave, who didn't want to be here because he hates us. Thanks to B-Train, who is also too good for us. Now he's getting his own show. I want to thank the Godfather Tomas, everybody else. Thank you for listening, spending your time with us. I know you have a choice of who to fly with. I'm glad you flew with us. Have a beer. It's on me.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs@icloud.com. It's up SFP. Show much love from the 13th to the 9th.